Hello, dear listeners. Welcome to this episode of the European Patients Podcast, your go-to source for all things patient-centric in the heart of Europe. I'm Flavia, the Communications Manager for EPF and your host on today's episode. Today, we welcome MEP Tomislav Sokol, who is supporting and endorsing our Vote for Patients campaign and the Patient Organizations Manifesto. We'll go through some highlights of his work on health during this mandate, the role of patient organizations in the healthcare system, and the future of health in Europe in the coming years. Hello, and welcome to this episode of the EU Patients Podcast.
Hello, I'm Tomislav Sokol, and thank you for inviting me.
To start things off, please tell our listeners a bit about your work you have done so far on health issues during this mandate.
Thank you for your question. I'm a member of the European Parliament from Croatia. I'm a member of the ENVI committee, which is the committee which is in charge of public health. And I'm also the coordinator of the European People's Party, the largest political group in the European Parliament, in the subcommittee on health. I was also in this parliamentary term, I was the rapporteur on European health data space, which I would like to highlight as a very important file that I was working on, which will make it possible for strong digitalization and creation of electronic health records on the European level, but also sharing of data and their use for research and for innovation across the European Union from all member states, which would be extremely beneficial for development of new medicines on the European territory. I was the core rapporteur of the European Parliament on that particular file, and I'm very proud of it that we've been able to achieve that. We have very strong provisions which on one side protect the patient's right to choose, patient's right to decide about the use of their own health data on one side, but also to make it possible that we have data which is useful and representative and unbiased, which is very important for research for development of new medical technologies. So this is definitely one thing that I'm particularly proud of, that I've been working on in the European Parliament this mandate. And the last vote, the final vote on the agreement between the Council and the European Parliament will take place in the very last plenary session next week in Strasbourg. Also, I would like to highlight my work on the revision of the general pharmaceutical legislation, where it was very important for us that on one side we make it possible that research innovation can be stimulated, that we create incentives for development of new medicines on the European territory, that we can also make it possible to develop new antimicrobials, new antibiotics, which has been very problematic in the last years because they have a certain market failure there, because for the private sector, it's not feasible in most cases to develop new antimicrobials. So now we've developed a system of push and pull incentives, how to develop new antibiotics. And I believe that this will result in renewed research, renewed innovation, and renewed investments into developing new antimicrobials on the European territory. Also, what was very important for me also when we speak about the development of new pharmaceuticals, that we become less dependent on import of pharmaceuticals from third countries, like for instance China. But then if you want to achieve that, we need to again stimulate production on the European territory. And for that we need incentives, and I was negotiating with our political groups to create the best possible incentives in general, but also to specifically focus incentives in those areas where the needs are the biggest. For instance, areas of high unmet medical need, where we don't have any medicines at all, where in relation to rare diseases, where more than 90% of patients not have an adequate treatment. And I'm glad that we've been able to focus the incentives on those particular areas where we have the biggest gaps, where needs are the biggest, so that investments can really go into those areas where there is actually the biggest necessity. Also, on the other hand, I would like to emphasize that we needed to make a balance between the interests also of innovative production, innovative industry on one side, but also take into account the interests of generic industry. Because generic industry is extremely important if we want to have affordable medicines, obviously, but also generic industry is very strongly present in some parts of Europe, like in Eastern Europe, where my where my country belongs. And for that, we need also to have strong provisions which will make it possible for generic medicines to go to the market right away when the intellectual property protection for innovative medicines expires. And with including a strong BOLAR exemption in these provisions, I think we've been able to make this happen. Also, we have provisions which will make it possible that all member states who have a need for certain medicine get this medicine on their market as soon as possible, which is very important because now there are medicines which go to certain member states 2 or 3 years after they arrive to some other big member states. And this kind of situation is not acceptable. We cannot have people of first and second class citizens. And I'm glad that this legislation will make it possible that medicines arrive in all the member states at approximately the same time where those member states make a request for such medicine. I think that we are going in the right direction. Obviously, we only finished the first reading of the parliament. The negotiations with the council will continue after the elections, but I'm glad that we've given a strong mandate for negotiations for the future parliament on these issues and that we've been able to achieve in this first reading the creation and stimulation of pharmaceutical industry on the European territory, but also to facilitate access, especially to those medicines where needs are the biggest, and also make it possible that affordable medicines get to the market, that they are not too much of a burden on the financial system of member states.
That's quite an impressive portfolio, I must say.
Thank you.
Considering all these very important legislative initiatives you've mentioned, in your opinion, what is the added value of patient organizations bring to healthcare systems?
Role of patient organizations in the whole healthcare landscape in the European Union is very important. So on one side, it is extremely important that we get the information from the patient organizations on the needs of the patients. So what the actual patients want, what are the biggest priorities for them, so that we can really focus on that in our legislative work. On the other hand, it's also important for us to communicate with patient organizations, that we also shed light on what we are doing in the parliament, so that we don't have this kind of a Brussels bubble syndrome, that we are disconnected from reality, but that we really communicate with the patients, and that we actually also promote what's going on in Brussels, which is extremely important also for the implementation of European legislation. Because so when we make certain decisions in Brussels, when you adopt new pieces of legislation, regulation or directives, it's important that that people in Europe become aware of it as soon as possible, so that they can prepare for the implementation of this in practice. Otherwise, there will be big problems. For instance, European health data space. With health data space will bring enormous changes in the way how we handle health data, how healthcare is provided, how research and innovation is conducted and development of new medicines in the healthcare system. And for this to work, we really need to get all the stakeholders on board. We need to have trust of both the patients, the industry, and healthcare professionals. So that is why this communication is very important. So essentially, we need two-way communication so that we really can disseminate what we are doing here, but that we can also get the feedback from the patients on what their priorities and needs are. For that reason, it's important that representative patient organizations are present in the actual institutional setup of different healthcare bodies in the European Union. They actually take part in the decision making, that the voices are heard, not just by us in the European Parliament, but by the Commission and by all the others. For that reason, I was strongly advocating for involvement of patient organizations into the governance system of European health data space, but also for their strong role in the framework of the European Medicines Agency. I have to say that we've been partially successful on that, not completely. So in terms of European health data space, I would have liked that patient organizations had an even stronger say in this setup than what is prescribed now, but I think that that end result is a step forward, and I'm glad that I was able to fight for the interests of the patients, of patient organizations, and definitely this influence will become stronger and stronger in the future as well.
You mentioned the future. How do you envision the future of healthcare in Europe and in the member states over the next few years?
When I speak of the future of healthcare, we have to be realistic. So the health, our population is getting older, so our healthcare systems will face even stronger pressure, especially financial pressures in terms of increasing their spending, increasing their budgets on new medical technologies, on medical devices, equipment, etc. So definitely the situation will become more and more complicated. In that sense, we need to do whatever we can to help the member states as much as possible, taking into account that healthcare is primarily a national competence, but still from the European level, we can help. We can provide added value. We can resolve problems which member states cannot resolve by themselves. One of the big problems here is maybe the biggest one, is the problem of this different access to healthcare, which I already mentioned, first and second class citizens. So we have to fight against that. We have to provide strong investments from European budget for equipment, providing better working conditions for healthcare professionals. But in general, also one of the problems is the problem of migration of healthcare professionals, especially doctors and nurses, from some parts of Europe, like Eastern Europe, to other parts of Europe, especially Western and Northern Europe. So we have to change that. We have to invest into new specializations. For instance, in my country, in Croatia, we are funding a lot of specializations from European Union funding, from European Social Fund. This needs to continue and even strengthen. We should, as I already said, invest more into the infrastructure, into equipment, into better working conditions. We have to work together on having strong strategies for medical doctors and nurses to remain in their member states. Invest into training as well, because without that we will have health deserts, especially in rural areas and less developed areas, while we will have overcrowdedness in other areas like big cities, most developed cities, etc. So these are the areas where you can definitely provide an added value to the national healthcare systems of the member states. We also can have a better legal regulation, better legal framework of cross-border healthcare, because a lot of patients need to access cross-border healthcare, especially those who are suffering from rare diseases from smaller member states like mine. But the legal framework, which European Union has, is extremely complicated. You need to be a health lawyer, an expert in health law, to actually know what your rights are as a patient. So I think that this legal framework, which consists of two pieces of legislation, the Cross-Border Healthcare Directive and Social Security Coordination Regulation, needs to be revised. It needs to be simplified. We need to provide easier access for patients. We need to provide more information to the patients about what the possibilities are to access healthcare abroad if they cannot get adequate treatment home. We have to give them the right to second opinion, so that also foreign experts can make a recommendation on what is the best possible treatment available anywhere in the EU. And what is extremely important is that we have to strengthen the setup that patients do not have to pay out of their pocket and ask for reimbursement, but that their healthcare costs are covered from the start. So currently, this is something that needs to be changed, that needs to be revised. I know there's a lot of opposition from several member states on this, but if you want to have a possibility for all patients in Europe to access the best possible healthcare, even outside of their home country, because if they just don't have the expertise or equipment in their home country, we need to strengthen the rights that European Union law gives them. What should we do also on the central and European level? We have to keep the momentum. So this is very important. So healthcare before this mandate was essentially a marginal topic in the Brussels plan. This has changed because of COVID-19, but also because of some initiatives like from DPP, that was Europe's beating cancer. Unfortunately, we see that this momentum is kind of diminishing, that now focus has shifted to other things like war in Israel, war in Ukraine, energy crisis, inflation, etc. So it is important for us, but also that all stakeholders continue to put this pressure on European institutions, that this focus, this emphasis on healthcare as one of the priorities of the European Union is maintained. What we can do in the European Parliament, and I'll continue to fight for that, and my political group as well, is to create a fully fledged separate committee on healthcare. Because currently we have healthcare as part of the ENVI committee, which is also in charge of the environment. And unfortunately, because of this, a lot of focus shifts on the environmental part, on the Green Deal, etc. We've seen this in this mandate, when we had enormous amount of legislation, on the Green Deal, which kind of put the healthcare on the side. So if we want healthcare to be an important issue, to be a strong issue within the European Parliament, we need to have the separate health committee and with fully fledged legislative powers, because now we have the subcommittee, but this subcommittee is not legislative. So because of this, it has very limited possibilities to act and to actually do something. So having a separate committee on healthcare with full powers as all the other legislative committees is an important step forward if we want to maintain this momentum and to maintain this focus on healthcare in the European Parliament. And I will continue to advocate this also in the future. And just one point, yes, just maybe to sum up what I forgot. Also, the presence of stakeholders, especially patient organizations, here is of extreme importance. European Patient Forum has been very active in this mandate since I've been in the European Parliament, other patient groups as well, and I hope that we continue this strong collaboration that we've had, because only if we work together we can provide better healthcare for European patients.
Thank you again to MEP Tomislav Sokol for joining us today on this episode of the EU Patients Podcast. To recap, we've discussed some of his significant work on health issues during this mandate, especially on the revision of the pharmaceutical legislation and on the European health data space, followed by an overview of what patient organizations bring to health systems. In his opinion, patient organizations have a major role to play in providing feedback, communication, and advocacy in healthcare policy making. Looking towards the future, Tomislav Sokol stresses the need for a stronger European healthcare system, investment in infrastructure and workforce, better cross-border healthcare regulations, and the establishment of a dedicated healthcare committee in the European Parliament. Thank you for joining us today on the European Patients Podcast. I'm Flavia, your host, signing off. Until next time, stay tuned, stay informed, and most importantly, stay healthy.